It says here in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone that one that God laid in Zion, that stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." But I see here that our Lord Jesus Christ is called precious. Precious. He is precious. The word precious means highly esteemed. It means cherished. Now there's things that's precious and cherished to you that absolutely has no value whatsoever to somebody else. There's things that mean something to you that when you try to bring them up to somebody else, they have no interest whatsoever. There's things that maybe you have stuck in your Bible that to you is precious, to nobody else it means absolutely nothing to. And that's the way it is in life. Everything's relative. What one person would throw away, another person would say, "I got to have that." And that's the way it is in this business called of knowing Christ. What some people say, "I must have him. I cannot live without him. I need him more than I need anything in this world." And then there's others that say, "Oh, I don't need him. I don't even know if he's a Savior. I don't know that he's any more than anybody else in this world." To some people, he's absolutely necessary. To some people, he just absolutely means nothing. And what does it mean here then that he's precious? To some of us, he is precious. We got to have him. We cherish him. We esteem him higher than any other person in this world. We esteem him to be everything and all things to our soul. Huh? And oh, beloved, let's look at this business of precious. Christ being precious. It says here that unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious. What makes Christ precious to us? What makes Christ precious? He's a precious Savior. A precious, precious Savior. Oh, we high esteem him. In fact, we say he's the only Savior. Amen. There's not another Savior on top side of God's earth. Never has been, never will be. There's never been another prophet like our Lord Jesus Christ. Never been another priest like our Lord Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. Yeah. We have no qualms saying that there's no other Savior. No other Savior. That's what makes him so precious. We tell men that no matter what you do, what you think, or where you go, there's no other Savior other than Jesus Christ. Mohammed is not even a prophet, much less a Savior. Ain't that right? There's no salvation in the church. Salvation's in this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I say. He's a precious Savior. And what makes him so precious to us? Well, his character. His character is what makes him precious. It's who he is. It's who he is. You see, us people that we love because of their character. We just think so highly of them and cherish them because of their character. The way they act, the way they carry themselves, their generosity, their easiness. Oh, so many things about him. Well, what makes Christ precious to us is who he is. What makes his character so precious to us? You know, his disciples, when they were in a ship one time and a great storm arose and they said, Lord, and the Lord Jesus was asleep, and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" To think that you could perish with the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord woke up and says, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he just says, "Peace be still." And he rebuked that storm. And the wind calmed and the waves got just as calm. And they says, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him. Huh? They sent some people after him to arrest him one time, and they come back and they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" They said, "Never man spake like this man." See, he's different than any man that's ever been. What is it about him that caused a woman who had seven devils in her to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair? And our Lord commend her for her faith. What caused another one? What's about him that caused another woman to sit at his feet and hang on to every word that came out of his mouth? Huh? What was so precious about him? What was so wonderful about him that made this happen? What's so precious and so glorious about our Lord Jesus Christ that makes men and women forsake all, everything to follow him? What makes him so precious and his word so glorious that the common people hear him gladly? What is it? Oh, he's precious. He's precious. Well, his character, who he is what makes him so precious. Look back up here in verse 6 just a moment. God says he's precious. God made him to be precious. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. It's contained in what God said.
Amen.
Behold, I lay in Zion. I lay in the church. I lay for God's people. A chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. What about him? Well, he's elect. I chose him. I chose him. I was the one that chose him. He's mine elect. I was the one who chose him to be the chief cornerstone. I was the one who chose to lay him in Zion for a foundation. I was the one who chose him to be my Redeemer. I was the one who chose him as to be the head of all my elect. And oh, beloved, he's precious. When God says he's precious, when God highly esteems him and God cherishes him, how do you think we ought to regard him? And all, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You see, he's precious because he's costly. And he is rare. There's nothing else like him in this world. And look what else it says about him here now in verse 7. To whom is he precious? To whom is he precious? Unto you that war which believe. That's who he's precious to. To believers. He's not precious to people who are not believers. And he wasn't precious to me until I became a believer. Ain't that right? Lived years without him. Lived years without thinking of him. Without even considering him. But now, since I'm a believer, he's precious. And he becomes more precious all the time. And oh, you see, why is he precious to us? Because we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Look down there in verse 3. If ye have so be, ye have tasted. Tasted.
Yes, sir.
Tasted that the Lord is gracious. When you taste something, it's got a flavor to it. It's something you enjoy.
Yes.
And we've tasted the graciousness of God. We've tasted, as the girl sang, in love, he lifted me. We've tasted that God is gracious, that everything he's done for us is based on his grace. We've tasted this grace. We've enjoyed this grace. We eat this grace. And that's why we don't bring in our works. That's why we don't bring in our merit. That's why we don't bring in our works or our word or anything that we do. It's because we've tasted grace. And we're not going to taste anything. Anything else don't taste good. Works don't taste good. Free will don't taste good. Arminianism don't taste good. Nothing tastes good but grace.
Amen.
And if you ever taste it, nothing else will taste like it. And you won't eat nothing else. Well, you know, somebody come along and try to put something else in your mouth, say, "Taste it." No, I don't like taste of that. Don't taste that. And oh, beloved, he's precious to us to believe because I'll give you several reasons why. To us who believe, he's precious because he's our life. He's our life. Our Lord Jesus says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Paul says, "When Christ, our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him." Huh? He's our life. He's our life. Look there in verse 4. Here, 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming? a living stone. We've come to a living stone. And because we've come to Him in verse 5, we become living stones. We become a spiritual house. Joined to Christ. Christ lives in us and we live in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's precious because He's our life. We have no life apart from Him.
Amen.
He gave us our life. He gave us this spiritual life. He made us alive to God. And not only that, He's precious because He's our righteousness. He's our righteousness. So you hold that and look over at 2 Corinthians 5. And oh, this is it right here. If you don't get this, if you don't grab this, and if you don't understand this, you know, I just read there in 1 Peter, you know, be ye holy as I am holy. For I am holy, saith the Lord God Almighty, and be ye holy as I am holy. Now how are you going to be as holy as God is holy? There's preacher people out here preaching that to become holy, you got to quit sinning. And you got to dress a certain way and attend a certain church and stay away from certain bad habits and go to certain places, stay away from other places, pray this much, do that much, do this other thing, and you'll become holy. Well, how are you going to ever get as holy as God Almighty is? When the heavens, when He says the sun and the moon and the stars are not pure in His sight.
That's right.
How much less is man? He's of the pure eyes and to behold evil. How are you going to be as holy as God? You've got to be as holy as God if you're going to go to glory. If you're going to be saved and commune with God, you've got to be that holy.
Amen.
As holy as He, we don't get that holiness at. Well, look right here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I'll show you. For He, God, three people in this verse here, He, God, sovereign, almighty, eternal, hath made Him to be sin. Only God can make a man to be sin. We were born sinners. We'll live sinners. We have a sin nature, but Christ didn't. So how's He going to be made to be sin? God's got to make Him to be sin. God made Him, legally constituted Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, had no sin, knew not what it was to sin. Now watch this, that we might be made. Just like God made Him to be sin, for us who knew no sin, and we who know nothing but sin, God made Him to be made sin for us that we might be made what He is, the righteousness of God in Him. It's a perfect exchange, don't you? Absolute exchange. He gets our sin, we get His righteousness. He became what we are in order to make us what He is.
Amen.
And when you have the righteousness of God, that makes you like God. That makes you righteous in the sense, not like God in the sense that you're like God, but in the sense that you have the very righteousness of God. When God looks at you, He sees you fulfilling the law, keeping the law, obeying the law, being without sin, access to Him any time, any day, any hour, any moment that you want to and will do it. Now, ain't that right? And this is, and I've told you this so many times before, but when I get to glory and you get to glory, our righteousness will be no better there than it is right now.
That's
right. See, righteousness is something you are. And if you're righteous now, how could you be more righteous at one time than you can another? Can God be more righteous at one time than He can another? Can it be more holy one time than it can be at another? Holiness and righteousness is states of being. And if you're righteous now, you'll be righteous throughout eternity. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still.
Amen.
That's what's so glorious about it, that I'm going to be done with this, but I'll never be through with right. You know, my righteousness cannot be any better than it is. It's the righteousness of God. That's why Christ is precious to us. We are righteous. He gave us His righteousness. Oh, my. In fact, back over in our text, it says this. Because He's our righteousness, it says here in verse 5, He also is lively stones, living stones, to build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We offer up spiritual sacrifices by Him. What's a spiritual sacrifice? Praise and thanksgiving. Blessing His holy name.
Yeah.
We don't offer the sacrifice. We have one of the prophets says we offer the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. Not the fruit of our loins, the fruit of our lips. Thanksgiving and praise and honor. And God accepts them.
Amen.
A man outside of Christ, I'm telling you, the man outside of Christ can pray all he wants to and pray as pretty as he wants to and do everything under the sun, but God will not hear him. But for those which believe, to those whom Christ is precious, whenever they call on God and say thank you and bless your holy name, God hears those and it's a sweet smell and savor.
Amen.
But the Pope ain't never made a prayer that God heard. That's right. A Pentecostal ain't never prayed a prayer that God heard. A Free Will Baptist never prayed a prayer that God heard. You say, that's awful hard, preacher. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's just the truth. Ain't nothing hard about it. And if more preachers told that, there'd be a whole lot less of that rigmarole going on. That's why it's called rigmarole. Huh? He's our righteousness. And oh, He's precious because not only is He our life and our righteousness to us which believe, He's our peace. He's our peace. He made peace. He is our peace. You know, some stumbled at Him, being disobedient at His word. But He brought peace. He brought peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He brought peace between us and God. He brought peace. He slew the enmity in our, made peace. He is our peace. And oh my, the peace that we enjoy because of Him. He is our peace. He's not going to become our peace. He's not going to give us peace, but He is our peace.
Yes, sir.
Whenever we do things and say things and that, instead of standing afar off, we come close. Without any enmity in our heart. Without any anger against God. When things don't go our way, we don't say, God, why me? What did I do to deserve this? No, we come to God no matter what's going on with peace. We're not going to charge Him foolishly. And our beloved, not only that, He's precious to us because He's our character. Now, as He is, so are we.
Amen, brother.
And as He is now, in this world, so are we. Now you keep 1 Peter and look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just a moment. He's our character. You know, and you hear people say all the time, what would Jesus do? Well, I guarantee you, He'd do a heap sight different than what most of us would do. But here, He is our character. What I mean by He is our character, we become living stones. We build a spiritual house that God regards us as Him. And everything that we need, we find in Him. Here in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him, of God, are ye in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Joining the church? No. By God. God puts you in Christ. God chooses you in Christ. God keeps you in Christ. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. And God made Him unto us wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom to know God. Wisdom to understand God. Wisdom to know ourselves. And He made Him righteousness for us. So we've got the character of wisdom. His wisdom. Righteousness, His. Sanctification, holy, set apart by Him. And redemption. So everything we need, God made Him unto us. So He's our character. When we come to God, God regards us just like He does His own dear Son. Oh, bless His holy name. Huh? And look back over here in our text again. You always keep that now. And He says there, here's what we are. He's our character. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Not only that, but a holy nation. Not only that, but a peculiar people. You're all those things. Who made you that way? God made you that way. God made you that way. And oh, beloved, let me say this to you who believe, therefore He is precious. Well, He's our all in all. That's why He's precious to us who believe. Christ is all our all and in all. He's our sufficiency. He's our sufficiency. Look what it says there in the last part of verse 6. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know what that word confounded means? Ashamed. Embarrassed. When we face, you know, our Lord Jesus told a bunch that came to him and they said, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. We've preached in your name. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They were confounded. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. Huh? There was the 10 virgins. 5 of them wise. 5 of them were called foolish. 5 of them went to be with the bridegroom. 5 of them was left there trying to figure out, where am I going to get some oil? Huh? They were embarrassed. They were confused. They were confounded. But he that believes on Christ, he that Christ is precious to, when he faces God, when we get to God Almighty and face him and see his glory and his holiness and that bright white holiness of God's light and go into glory, we'll not be embarrassed, we'll not be confounded, we'll never hear, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Won't hear that. Why? Because he's our foundation. We're laid on him. We're built on him. We're built on him for time and eternity, like the verse in that hymn that we sung, ere time his race began. We were chosen in him.
Amen.
Huh? We were in him. Do you highly esteem him? Do you cherish him? Do you think he's precious? Is he all these things to you and more? He becomes more precious in the passing of time. More precious. You know, it's just the way we become to one another. As time goes by with us, our relationship's more precious now than ever. We got time to enjoy one another and laugh. And that's the way it is as you get older. You become more precious to one another because you become more endearing to one another. And you know, the longer you know, the more precious they become. And that's the way it is with Christ. The longer we go on as believers, the longer we go on in our need of Christ, the longer we worship him, the more precious he becomes to us. Oh my, he becomes so precious that one of these days, bless his holy name, we'll get to embrace him as he is.
Yes, sir.
And see him as he is. And let me give you one more here. I've got several, but I'm just going to give you one more. So he is precious. To who? To them that believe. What makes him precious? His character. All that he is to us. All that God made him to us. That's what it means to taste that the Lord is gracious. He made Christ this way to us. We didn't make him this way. God made him this way.
Amen.
God laid him as the foundation stone. God put us in Christ. God made him unto us wisdom, righteous saints. But God made him to be sin. God made us the righteous of God in him. That's why we tasted that the Lord is great. This is the Lord's work.
Yeah.
That's what makes us so. It's not our work. It's his work. Well, let me give you another one. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Precious, precious, precious. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now under the Old Testament, under the law, every man had to give a shekel according to the sanctuary, the weight of the sanctuary. The firstborn, all rich or poor alike, they all had to give exactly the same amount. And the foundation of the tabernacle was laid in that silver that they paid as a redemption. And they would pay, it was built on redemption, to show, and the firstborn would come, and all of them would do that, called redemption. And that's what he says, that was corruptible things. Silver corrupts, gold corrupts. Things that won't last. Things that you can buy. things that you think that you can perish with them, but as silver and gold, from your vain, empty, useless manner of life that was passed on by traditions from your fathers. But this is what you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, now watch this. As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, when was he ordained to be this lamb without vain? Spot without blemish. When were we redeemed by him? In the first place, this blood is precious is to the Father, because it said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, brought out for us to see, to redeem us in these last times for you. Huh? Oh, beloved, precious, precious blood. Hunger. Being hungry makes bread precious. Food precious. When you're thirsty, oh, really thirsty, water is precious. If you're poor, riches is precious. If you're naked, clothes is precious. If you're sick, health is precious. And you know what makes the blood of Christ precious? Sin, guilt, and condemnation. If you ever feel your sin, ever feel your guilt, ever feel the condemnation that you're under the wrath and judgment of God, that's when the blood of Christ becomes precious. Oh, you feel that sin, you feel that guilt, you feel that, oh, that's when the blood of, you know why the blood of Christ is not precious to people? They got no sin, they got no guilt, they got no condemnation. But boy, if you got it, oh, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged in that flood, what happens? They lose all their guilty state. Oh, my. Oh, this precious blood, this blood of Christ is precious because of its redeeming power. It says you were redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's called the blood of God in Acts 2:28. Look over here. Now, Titus is that little book before Hebrews. Look at that with me just a moment. To be redeemed, it's precious because of its redeeming power. Then does it need our faith to make it more powerful? Does it need our obedience to make it more powerful? Does it need our tears to make it more powerful? It has redeeming power in its own. You know, for whom he redeemed, Christ redeemed, he redeemed the people. There's multitudes of people that's been redeemed by Christ. I was redeemed by Christ before I ever existed.
That's right.
And I didn't know anything about it until somebody preached the gospel to me. That's the power it has. That it, the power of Christ is so powerful and so glorious, and his redemption is so blessed that for all whom he redeemed, he guarantees that they'll be brought to the Father.
Amen.
He guarantees that redeeming that blood has such power that it guarantees the salvation of a multitude that no man can number, and they didn't even know they were redeemed till God made them to know it. Ain't that right?
Still learning about it.
Still learning about it. That's right. Look here in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us? Christ, this blessed, great God and glorious Savior, gave himself for us. Offered himself as that lamb. That he might redeem us. What did he redeem us from? All iniquity. Well, that had that much power that it saved us from all iniquity. And that had enough power that it purified us. And where did he purify us to? Unto himself. Not what the world calls purification. What Christ and God calls purification. Unto himself. And look what else, how powerful that. It made us a peculiar people. You're a peculiar person if you trust Christ. If you believe Christ, and Christ is everything too. If you don't trust your works, you don't trust your own righteousness. You're a peculiar person that puts all your eggs in one basket in what Christ did. Huh? And oh, now his blood had enough power that made him zealous of good works that you want to live to his glory and his honor. Huh? That's how powerful his blood is. Oh my, the word redeemed means to ransom. You know, if somebody holds you captive, you know, I'm going to set a ransom. And a ransom has a price. This is what it's going to cost you to get me to let these people go. Well, God set the price. What held us captive? The justice of God. He said, I will not let them go. They're sinners. I cannot let them go. That soul is sinneth, it must die. God set the price. The life of Christ, the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. And you pay that ransom, you pay that price, and I'll let every one of them people go. God told Moses, says, you go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You know when the people were let go? When the blood was shed. And God brought them out with a high hand. And when Christ shed his blood, and that's why, beloved, before the world ever began, God set the price. The blood of his Son.
Amen.
Someone's got to die for sin. Justice must be satisfied. Well, Christ, because of the worth of his person, He is God. It's the blood of God that redeemed us. And the soul that sinneth it must die. And so Christ took our sin upon himself. And when God took all that sin and put it on himself, he says, that soul there is going to die. And he is of such infinite worth and has such merit to himself that I'll take all those people for whom he dies. His blood is so powerful and so precious that I'll take all of their sins away from them and remove them and let every one of them go free. And that's what happened. That's what happened. And oh my, sin, death, law, justice. He redeemed us from all of it. That's how much power it's got. That God himself lets us go. And all, and I tell you what else makes it precious to us. Is because it has cleansing power. Power, wonder-working power. Wonder-working power. Oh my. Look over at Hebrews 9 with me just a moment. You know, John said it like this. He says, his blood cleanses from all sin. He said, it's, though your sins be as crimson, they should be as white as snow. And it cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Look what it says here now in Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Oh, the cleansing power. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. That's what they did under the law. They come to the priest with the blood of goats and calves and come into the presence of God at the brazen altar. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, now listen here,
Amen. Eternal
redemption. Not a redemption that lasts until you do something wrong or think something wrong or until you fall or you miss a church service. That wouldn't be much of a redemption, would it?
No.
That you're redeemed until you commit some kind of a sin or something, you become unredeemed, you got to start all over again. This is an eternal redemption. Now watch this. For if the blood, and he obtained it for us, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of that red heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, and God accepted that for that time, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now look where it works, does its work at. Purge your conscience. And that just sanctified the flesh. Purge your conscience. This inward man, this man here that demands perfection.
Amen.
Purge your conscience from dead works, everything you ever hoped or trusted in to serve the living God. That's the power and cleansing power of his blood. It purges your conscience.
Amen.
Oh, let me give you another one real quick. It's precious because of its pacifying power. Now, what do I mean by that? It's redeeming power, it's cleansing power, pacifying power. You see, his blood made peace with God for us. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the blood of Christ slew the enmity in our hearts against God and slew the wrath of God against us. It made peace with God for us. We can... You know, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. Wrath of God don't abide on me. Why? Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Uh-huh. And not only when we understand that, oh, the peace that comes into our heart and our conscience. Oh, the peace that comes. I don't give up and don't quit whenever I say or do something I'm not supposed to say or act the way I'm not supposed to. You know why? Because God don't get mad at me when I do it. And I understand that. I don't have to stand back cowering in fear that God's going to do something against me because I've done something wrong. I don't have to do that. I can come to God in it. But why? Because there's peace. He ain't going to close his eyes and say, oh, I can't look at him. He can't say, well, I can't bless him. No, it's Christ that made peace. It's the blood of his cross that made peace.
Amen.
I didn't make it. And if I didn't make it, I can't keep it established. Ain't that right? Oh, my. No concession on God's part. No. And then, beloved, it's precious because of its reconciling power. It reconciled us to God. Reconciled us. Huh? And what it done, it removed and reconciled us. You know, to be reconciled, there had to be a friendship before. There had to be a closeness before, a relationship before. And then something has to happen to sever that relationship. And for that relationship to be reconciled and be brought back together, somebody has to make amends. And Christ... See, we had fellowship with God and our father Adam in the garden. We lost that fellowship. We lost that friendship. We lost that relationship. So what did Christ do? He come and reconciled us to God by his blood. And he slew that enmity that was in our hearts that was against God. Pacified the wrath of God that was against us. And now we're back in union and fellowship and relationship with the Father. Huh? And oh, let me tell you this quickly. Because it has such power, because it gives us such glorious, glorious assurance. Oh my, what assurance it gives us. What access it gives us. Look at Hebrews 10, just a moment. Hebrews 10. Oh my, it gives us such assurance. Such assurance. Such glorious assurance. Access. Not only assures, but gives us access. Look in verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law having a shadow, just a shadow, everything in the law and all the sacrifices, the priesthood and the ceremonies, they were just a shadow of good things to come. They weren't the very image of the things, which can never with those sacrifices, because they were shadows, which they offered year by year, continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. Never could be made perfect under the law. So you could never have assurance. You had to keep coming back over and over and over and over. Offering the same sacrifices could never take away sins. Now, I don't know how people live without assurance. I remember being in, when I was lost in legalism and Arminianism, I never had assurance. Couldn't keep assurance. Couldn't have peace. Always doing something to make myself better. But now watch this. So I was trying to, I couldn't be made perfect. But now look down at verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected a failure you couldn't be made perfect. He has, by his one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. How do we know? The Holy Ghost witnesses to us. He tells us. He makes it real to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts. He writes in our hearts. He deals with our hearts. And I'll, in their minds will I write them. Watch this. And their sins and iniquities, I ain't going to remember them anymore. Now, where these sins are gone and where there's no sins and you've been made perfect, there's no more offering for sin. You don't need an offering for sin because you don't have any sin. He put them away.
Amen.
So since we don't have any sin, since we're made perfect, and God don't remember them, having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, confidence to enter into the very holiest, into the very presence of God. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. By new, not the old way, not the law way, new way and living way. Living, always living, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then last of all, beloved, and I'm through. Last of all, back over in our text. Let me show you this. It's precious because of its redeeming power, its cleansing power, its pacifying power, its reconciling power, because it gives us assurance and gives us access. And then it's precious because of its origin. Look in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. It's originated with God. This blood, this redeeming blood, this precious blood, it was before the foundation of the world. It was ordained for us before the foundation of the world. Predestinated, if you want to call it that. Foreordained means that it was, God said, this is going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. Huh? Watch this. But was manifest in these last times. God brought him out, whom he set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God brought him out, manifested.
Amen.
Manifested through the womb of a virgin. Manifested in his life. Manifested on the cross. Manifested in his resurrection. And oh my, now watch this. And all he was manifested for you who by him, do believe in God. Oh, that's how much power his blood has to give us faith that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, where did it originate from? Originated from God before the foundation of the world. Oh, it's precious. To who? You therefore which believe. You who by him believe in God. He's precious. Our Father. Oh, our God. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Blessed be your precious, holy, glorious name. Thank you for giving us Christ. And oh, blessed Savior, thank you for giving yourself. And oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing the things of Christ to us. How we bless you and praise you for these things. God, make this alive and real and powerful in the hearts and minds of your dear saints here today. That soul that's been redeemed by your blood, we know that they shall believe We know that they shall come. We know that they shall be preserved. Because your blood has all power to cleanse from all sin and to purge the conscience and make us acceptable. Thank you, Lord. May Christ become precious. May you, our Lord Jesus, become precious today to some soul. We ask it and bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's do 125, I believe it is. Stand with me while we turn.